It's time now for KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30, bringing you interviews and information regarding local nonprofit events and city and county services from Aspen to Rifle. KMTS Connections connects you to everything that matters in the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond. Once again, it's Gabe from the KMTS Morning Show, and Maureen from the Glenwood Springs Center for the Arts is here with us. I forget how many years it's been that you've come in to visit with me, but...
Quite. I think since 2006 or seven.
Has it really been that many years?
Yeah, okay. Because I came back teaching in 2006, and so I think it's probably been since 2006 or seven.
I'll take your word for it.
All right,
anyway,
good.
it's time once again for the annual rite of passage for local dancers, anyway. Dancers Dancing 2017, the 25th anniversary of Dancers Dancing. And the title is Dancers Dancing, A Legacy, of course, which takes on all kinds of new meanings with the news over the last 5 or 6 weeks or so, with the Center for the Arts planning to close after Dancers Dancing if, nothing extraordinary happens between now and then. But you're using this as still looking back over the last 25 years of Dancers Dancing and looking at all of the dancers that have performed and all of the great times and still moving forward with a positive smile on your face.
Absolutely. Like
that I have always come to know and love.
Oh, absolutely. We actually had planned that this would be our legacy performance celebrating the 25 years of Dancers Dancing. It feels like such a milestone, and we've reached out to alumni, participants, dancers, parents, families, tech crew, costumers, contributors, because I'm just filled with such warm memories, and it's been an absolute blast all year to reflect back and look at the tremendous experiences. I feel so lucky to have had a job like this where I have been able to connect and make friendships and relationships with other professionals, artists, students, families. That's just been the best part of the whole thing.
Teachers and of any kind have a huge impact on kids. And dance teachers in particular, because in the classroom setting, you're usually trying to work toward a goal of learning how to do a particular math problem or learning history, that kind of thing. Dance, you're moving around and it's fun. And dance teachers kind of, you're still teaching, but it seems a little more fun to the kids. You know, younger people, when you can be active, seems like they're a little happier usually.
Oh, I guess that's really, I think you're absolutely right. You make this great connection because they're expressing themselves through movement and it's fun for them and they develop really, really strong friendships. And it's just a beautiful way to connect with a student. You know, dance is expression through body, mind, and spirit. And so it's just really fun to make those kind of connections with the students, and they make it with each other.
And this is the 25th anniversary of Dancers Dancing, so the 25th time Dancers Dancing has happened. But the Center for the Arts has had dance recitals even before that.
Oh, definitely, yeah. So the CMC, actually, the multipurpose room at CMC on Blake was the room in which the seeds for our dance program were germinated. And that building opened in 1981. It was right when I moved here. And I remember walking in the building and looking in that room. The floor was just getting finished, so you couldn't walk in it. But I thought, oh, that's a great space. We can make something happen there. And I really want to honor Martha Cochran, who was the director of the CMC on Blake at that time, because she really facilitated us being able to do our classes and performances there. And the CMC was just so supportive of us. They helped us convert that space into something that could be used for a performing space. And we held numerous performances and recitals between 1981 and 1993 space. And I look back on the wonderful people I got to work with there. Tom Cochran was right in there helping us with our lighting and tech aspects. I got to teach with Charlotte Cunningham, Virginia Nicholas, Amy Haddon Marsh was one of the dancers at that time.
Amy Marsh was a dancer?
She sure was, yeah. That's where I met her. That was
I
where
had
I met
no
her
idea.
During that era.
I'm so going to give her a hard time about that next time I see her.
Yeah, she was definitely right in that era.
How cool.
Really cool. And then Nova, her name at the time was Andrea Sprick. She was married to Dan Sprick, but Nova Lovero is what she, her professional name. She moved here, and then Karen and David Samuelson had been dancing in Europe. Karen was trained through the Royal Academy of Dance program at Rambert in England, and she married David when they were dancing in a dance company in Germany. And David is a local who had grown up in Glenwood, and he brought her to Glenwood Springs. And working with Karen and David is definitely one of the highlights of my career. They were such incredible professionals. Parents that brought their children there, and it was just such a fun time. We just made stuff happen. And
we're just in the first segment, too.
Yes, I'm sorry. Mary Steinbrecher and Debbie Pfeiffer came with their little three-year-old daughters, and they became two of my very best friends.
It's okay.
Say something, Gabe. No, they say something fun. They
say something funny?
Say
is
something
that what you
funny.
Said?
So they were definitely...
So these two guys walk into a bar.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so they were definitely very instrumental in the formation of the Glenwood Springs Arts Council. Terry Glasnap was working at CMC, and he gathered some of us together and said, you know, we need an arts council in this town. That was in 1981. And he still has the... piece of paper of the people that signed in for that first meeting. Dan Sprick, Bob Noon, I believe Mary Steinbrecher and Debbie Pfeiffer were there. John, my husband John, and I were there. And we said, let's make it happen, form this thing called the Glenwood Springs Arts Council. And then form the 501(c) nonprofit status. So that's it's a 35-year-old organization. And then it was about 10 years later that Mary Steinbrecher and Nova identified a vacant building that was pretty run down, that was a historic building over there by the Yampa Vapor Caves. They approached the city who owned the building. Mary Steinbrecher was on city council, and they forged a relationship between the city and the Arts Council, that if the Arts Council took full responsibility of the building for any kind of capital improvements or anything like that, that the city would lease it to them for an extremely reasonable amount of money.
And that's a relationship that's continued to today.
Continued all this time. And now that vacant building, oh my gosh, Gabe, we took the students. So in 1992, Karen Samuelson and I, we were teaching all over the place. She was teaching at CMC in Carbondale. I was down at the Blake Center. I was teaching at Spring Valley. We took our students and we said, we're going to form over at that vacant building something called the Dance School at the Center for the Arts. Well, I honestly think some of the parents, when they brought their kids in there, were thinking, what have you got on your mind here? Because it was a historic building that had been vacant, and it was pretty rough, but that was the seeds of what became our dance program. So Karen and I were there, and then Claire Evans, who had been teaching for years in Rifle, and Nova came over and joined us. And Nova really she was the executive director there for a couple of years. And I always say we wouldn't be there now if it weren't for Mary Steinbrecher and Nova, really, and many other people too. So we had numerous events to try to raise funds. Debbie Pfeiffer organized an incredible haunted house, which it was very scary in there because the building had been vacant for so long. And Nova organized a dance-a-thon, and we raised money to improve the place. And Nova brought somebody from CU Boulder who had designed the dance spaces there, and he figured out a way to – there was already a wood floor in there, but he figured out a way to top it with a spacer in between the old wood floor and a new floor. And that spacer provided for resiliency. And to this day, it's one of the best dance floors around because
it's what you call a sprung floor, right?
It's a sprung floor. It's resilient. It's safe. You can work on it without, you know, running the risk of injury to the knees, legs, ankles. You can jump and have resiliency on it. It's a great floor. I love the floor. So now since that time of that being a vacant building, countless students, families, parents, artists have called it their home. And literally, oh my gosh, thousands of people have come through that space.
And so 25 years ago, again, when the first Dancers Dancing was, so that was around the same time that the Center for the Arts had its own permanent home for the first time, which was, you know, the old hydroelectric plant building out in next to the vapor caves.
Yeah, you've got it exactly. So prior to that time, we performed everywhere that you can imagine. We did school shows. We performed at the Wheeler. We took kids to the Denver Art Museum, or not Art Museum, but Children's Museum. We did a really amazing festival with the kids in Salt Lake City called Dance and the Child International, where the kids got to stay in the dorms on the University of Utah campus and dance next to kids from Sweden, you know, Finland, all over. There was a Chinese group there. It was incredible. But we really longed for a center where we could gather everybody together and work toward that end. And so then we, in the fall of 1992, Karen and I took our students over there. Nova and Claire joined us, and we were sitting in there. I remember that place. It was old, you know, and no improvements. And the four of us said, let's get a show that can be performed at the high school and gather all the students together. And I remember Nova saying, let's just call it dancing. And Karen said, no, let's call it Dancers Dancing with her English accent. And now that's what it's been.
And the rest, as they say, is history.
That's right. We've never – it's happened through thick and thin, through the ups and downs every single year since then. And now we're in an up point. We have 110 students who will be dancing under the direction of seven really incredible teachers who have choreographed their dances for them. And it'll be a really dynamic show. We're very excited.
It's the weekend of May 12th and 13th, Friday and Saturday night. Shows at 7 o'clock. There's also a matinee this year, as there have been a lot of those years, Saturday at 1 o'clock. Doors open about 30 minutes before showtime. Tickets are $16 for adults, $10 for students all the way from preschool to college age. You can get those tickets at the door if you would like, or you can go to glenwoodarts.org. All of this takes place in the Jeannie Miller Theater at Glenwood Springs High School, again, May 12th and 13th. As always, there's an opportunity for some snacks and that kind of thing in the commons area right outside the main entrance to the Jeannie Miller Theater, and we'll talk about that. And share some more memories from the 25 years of Dancers Dancing and before. Again, the show is Dancers Dancing, A Legacy, May 12th and 13th, Jeannie Miller Theater at Glenwood Springs High School. Again, details at glenwoodarts.org. And we'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon, we're visiting with Maureen Toffer from the Glenwood Springs Center for the Arts. The last month or so has not been probably the happiest time that you've ever spent at the Center for the Arts. And yet, as you kind of alluded to earlier, the show must go on.
Absolutely.
By the way, so the current plan is Dancers Dancing 2017 will be it. Having said that, if somebody comes forward, a donor, multiple donors, to help solve the problems that have accumulated, then things can continue. But for right now, we believe that Dancers Dancing, A Legacy, will be the swan song, I guess you might say, for now.
Well, you know, I feel like my job is to make sure that the show gets up. I know we've had a lot, an outpouring of support from a number of different entities. And I believe that our president of our board of directors, Kate McGrath, is taking those offers and is in the process of trying to kind of corral it in and organize it all. But definitely we've had major people come forward and, you know, there's that big word, hope.
Yes, we'll keep our fingers crossed.
There you go, fingers crossed.
In the meantime, Dancers Dancing, A Legacy happens Friday and Saturday, May 12th and 13th. And a professional like you, you know, I use the term the show must go on, and I guess it's kind of become cliche at this point. But having known you over the last 8 years that I've been involved with Dancers Dancing, you really do believe that. I mean, you are the consummate professional.
Well, thank you.
No, seriously, I've seen you in action.
Thank you.
And forget what's going on backstage. The audience sees a great performance, and that's all there is to it.
Oh, thank
really.
You.
Oh, it's
I
true.
I really appreciate that. Well, you've been such a key person, and I always every year tell you that one of my favorite parts of the whole show is working with the other professionals. And while we work on it for several months, kind of toward the end, then we get to have these other professionals that come in that are total experts in their art form, and they come in with fresh look at things, and it's just so much fun. Gabe, you've been really key to every year. Gabe edits our music. He has been our sound engineer for several years, and we just couldn't do it without you.
Well, I have to say, this is going to turn into a real love fest, isn't it? But I mean, since you brought it up, you know, you took such good care of my girls. We were able to provide dance classes for our kids because of the fact that I had a skill that I could lend to the Center for the Arts. And they have such good memories of their times there, and just have they really enjoy dancing still to this day. They couldn't really do many dance classes in college just because of all the academic load, but they still talk about it on a regular basis. Of course, graduation weekend is the same weekend as Dancers Dancing, so they can't make, you know, they can't be the some of the alumni that are returning, but they'll be there in spirit, certainly.
And Gabe has three daughters, twins, and then a daughter that's 13 months older, and they've all three of them been raised kind of like triplets, and yeah. We were lucky enough to have them when they were eighth grade through their graduating year in high school. Three very outstanding girls. And
well, you're very kind.
So they're three of our alumni that we particularly love.
I'm just so thankful that they take after other members of the family rather than me.
No, wait, you can't say that.
You know, Maureen, you talk about the other professionals
yes.
that have lent their talents to Dancers Dancing over the years. Again, I can't speak before this to you know the previous years or to the pre-Dancers Dancing years, but I'll tell you the years that I have been there. Of course, Tom Cochran is talk about the consummate professional, somebody that you know knows their stuff. He did the lighting design for the first few years of Dancers Dancing that I was there. Absolutely great, a wonderful sense of humor. So a lot of people may not know that we all are wearing headsets. We all have intercoms. So a lot of times we may or may not be talking about the dance that's actually occurring on the stage. It could be any number of things, including, you know, world events, news, or telling jokes. Of course, Brad Bailey and Chris McCloskey were the backstage guys. If I remember correctly, it was Brad that was always on stage left and Chris was on stage right. Chris is no longer with us. He passed away a few years ago. Of course, his spirit lives on with Dancers Dancing as well. Brad, in honor of Chris, has continued to be the stage manager. Matt, I'm drawing a blank on Soltis,
yes. Yeah,
Matt Soltis has taken over the lighting design for Tom for the last 4 or 5 years. And Matt also is just incredibly talented. But whereas Tom is a planner, Matt is more of a seat of the pants, oh, let's see how this looks kind of guy. And, you know, both of them, I think they do an incredible job. It's just so interesting to see that it's a great lesson that there's more than one way to approach a problem, really.
Yeah, great, great.
And, of course, you know, working with all the teachers and, you know, helping edit the music and change things around, it's been rewarding for me as well.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
It really has been.
I'm glad to hear that because Gabe has given, he's taken a whole week off of work to come and be our sound engineer and to make sure that everything, he mics the floor so that the taps can be heard. He makes sure that we have microphones that come on right at the right time, and it's just been great.
Or most of the time at the right time.
And Matt, I have to say, Matt Soltis, each year I think he kind of outdoes himself. He comes in with some kind of an effect or a additional lighting idea that just, it's just amazing. We really love working with Matt.
And the space. Is quite nice. You know, the Jeannie Miller Theater, the school district, of course, wanted to make sure that they honored Jeannie Miller's memory. And they also made the decision to make that space available to groups like the Center for the Arts. Of course, you mentioned Kate McCraith, who's currently now the president of the board of the Center for the Arts. Well, before that, and still to this day, that's kind of her classroom. You know, she's the theater teacher and drama teacher at Glenwood Springs High School, and she's always been supportive as well.
Definitely, and she really takes care of that facility.
Yes, she does.
It's a
it's her classroom.
That
like
week
I say.
Of the week that we're in there is really a highlight of our year. It's a great space, and it's so much fun to be on that stage and in the theater. And since you're kind of bringing up collaborations, and you brought up Jeannie Miller's name, we always it's sort of a tradition for us to work with other artists. I have a special place in my heart for musicians, and our first dancers.
I can't imagine why.
Yeah, my son's a professional musician. Our first dancers dancing in 1993, we had a student named Amanda Bank, and she said, "My dad's a musician, and I'd like you to meet him." And I met Chris Bank, and Chris and Jeannie Miller and Debbie Dawson and Janet Dana formed kind of a quartet, and they sang for a couple of our pieces. And so in that first Dancers Dancing, Jeannie Miller was part of the show with Chris Bank, Debbie Dawson, and Janet Dana. So that's a little piece of trivia that's really fun. And Gabe, you asked me if I could provide you with some photos that you could put on your website, and I will send you one of those four people. I just haven't had time yet.
That's awesome. I'd love to be able to do that because we've been posting these interviews of late, and so if we can include a couple pictures, I think it would the title of the show is Dancers Dancing, A Legacy, honoring not only the last 25 years of Dancers Dancing as it has been known, but really the 10 years before that all of this kind of percolated, as you say, germinated. That's the term you used. I actually saw, you talked about the old stage there at the CMC Blake Center.
Yes.
I saw one of those old shows in 86 maybe.
Oh, great.
I think. And I remember Liz Flood was dancing at the time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I remember thinking it was so cool that my doctor's daughter, you know, it's kind of like teachers and doctors, you know, they're real people too, you know, when you're that age. You know, I was pretty young at the time.
Oh, that's great.
And, of course, she danced there for a while as well as her older sister.
Her older sister, Megan. Yeah, when Megan actually is a professional dancer in Minneapolis, and she was a tremendous dancer. And I remember telling her dad, Dr. Flood, wow, Megan is so talented with this. And he told me, that's what her physics teacher says about physics. But so I think Megan could have done anything, and she ended up pursuing dance and is to this day a professional in Minneapolis. But then Liz, she danced with us, and she's a doctor. Liz Spiedel, Elizabeth Spiedel.
Yeah, and a couple stories about Dr. Flood. Of course, he was my doctor for a long time. First of all, I have this theory that some people take more than their fair share of talent, and so they leave less than average for the rest of us to go around.
That's
right?
Good. I like that.
Last time I saw Dr. Flood, I ran into him in the store, and I said, "Hey, what's up, Doc?" And he said, "Are you a rabbit?" And that was the entire exchange.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, that dry sense of humor. I always liked him. Obviously, I haven't been able to see him for a while since he was a pediatrician. But
you're not still going to the pediatrician? Oh, come on, Gabe.
There are times when maybe it would be appropriate, but I digress. Dancers Dancing a Legacy, Friday and Saturday, May 12th and 13th at Glenwood Springs High School in the Jeannie Miller Theater. Friday and Saturday shows at 7 o'clock and a Saturday matinee at 1 o'clock. Again, it's a legacy show honoring the last 25 years of Dancers Dancing and then, of course, the 10 years previous to that that they held those dance recitals that kind of led up to what we now know as Dancers Dancing. Tickets are $16 for adults, $10 for preschool, all the way through college-age students. Again, 110 students, 7 choreographers that helped make this show happen. Doors open 30 minutes before showtime, about an hour or so before showtime. There will be some food that's available as well. We'll talk about that when we come back. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon we're visiting with Maureen from the Glenwood Springs Center for the Arts. This year it's the 25th anniversary of Dancers Dancing, Dancers Dancing, a Legacy. We talked a lot about the history and the past, and of course, as I mentioned right before the break, 110 students, 7 choreographers, and a number of crew members backstage and behind the scenes that will make this 25th Dancers Dancing happen.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I guess maybe we should start with John Toffer.
Oh, that's a good person to start with, that's for sure.
You know, I see John from time to time, particularly when I would see him when I was still working on the show. And he'd say, well, it's Dancers Dancing time, so I know I'm going to be making my own dinner. Or something along those
exactly.
lines. He's good-natured about it, and he helps out a lot. He helps you've got a special floor that you roll down on the stage, and he helps roll that out and drives the truck back and forth with all the costumes and that kind of thing.
You got it. He's right there. That floor actually has everything has a history to it, but it's a vinyl flooring the brand name is Marley, and Karen and David bought it. Samuelson bought it from the Wheeler because David used to work there. And then the center bought it from them. We've been using it for 25 years, and it's rolled up. It's at the center. And there's this sort of ritual of getting the Marley over and unrolling it, stretching it, and taping it.
And then turning the lights on because it stretches with the lights,
yeah,
right?
It has to relax with the heat of the lights. And I know this year I said to him, you know, the stage is looking really good, John. Maybe we don't need to do the Marley this year. And he just looked at me like, what? That's part of the ritual, you know? If the girls are on point, they need to be on the Marley, you know? It's just part of the ritual, so it'll be there.
And other volunteers that help make
yeah.
this happen.
Sean Binion and his family, Jackie and their two girls, and Chris Tripp, Dan Roper will help us out, as well as Jeremy Stott. We've just got great people that help every year. It's really great. So, and I'd absolutely love to talk about our teachers this year and our show. Our show will open with a slideshow, and we've condensed those 25 years into a 15-minute slideshow. So when you first come in the theater, the slideshow will be running. We're very lucky to have on Friday night the Glenwood Springs High School Jazz Ensemble will provide background music while that slideshow's running.
Awesome.
And then on Saturday night, 3 amazing musicians are going to be providing that music, Ashton Toffer and Matteo Sandate and Walter Hanselman. And so they're worth the price of admission. Hearing them play while those slides are running is
they're pretty. They would, what I was talking about before, people that get more than their fair share of talent, they would fall into that category.
Our 7 teachers this year, I'm just so proud of every one of them. Laura Barr. And I've known Laura since she was Laura Stein.
Did she dance for you?
She did. I met her when she was a little girl, 4 years old, and had the wonderful privilege of working with her as she grew up. She was particularly loved and interested in ballet, and she worked tremendously with Karen and David, and I know was very influenced by Karen's teaching as well as the other instructors. I definitely want to mention the Barnum sisters, Bailey Barnum and Bella Barnum Collier, who are both teaching for us and have just been incredible assets to our program. And I've been lucky enough to be their teacher. Emily Pfeiffer, again, I met her when she was 3. I always get...
I'm sensing a theme here, Maureen.
I know. She's such an amazing professional, and she danced throughout her... She's definitely danced all her years at the Center for the Arts, went to DU and majored in theater, and then she has a master's degree in modern dance from the University of Utah. Moved back here about a year and a half ago after... she's had an incredible professional career as a dancer. She... dances with Co-Motion in Carbondale and also works at For Dance Initiative. She's a beautiful teacher. She has a modern dance piece that she did with our teens, and it's a real process-oriented piece because she began with writing exercises. So she asked them specific questions, and they wrote their sort of answers, and then they used that as the thematic material for her choreography. Danielle Yost is someone that grew up at the Center for the Arts, and she was particularly influenced by the ballet instruction of Karen Samuelson, and she's teaching for us. In 1995, she was in Karen's piece. Karen did Act 3 from the classical ballet Sleeping Beauty, and now Danielle is recreating a segment of Act 3 from the classical ballet of Sleeping Beauty that she learned from Karen. And when she was in it, there's a part with two cats, the white cat and Puss in Boots, and she and Laura played that part in 1995.
Wow. And now she's recreated that.
Yes,
with
and
her
now
own
she has
her own choreography this year.
Exactly. So that'll be really fun to see. And then Nicole Zinn, she's young. I think she's 22, and she was Danielle's student, and she's got great stuff in our piece. In our show, she's done a really great tap piece to Smooth Criminal, and she at the kind of. The last minute, as things have worked out, we have a student who's not going to perform in our show, and Nicole is doing her parts. So you'll get to see Nicole dance in Smooth Criminal, and you'll also get to see her dance in Danielle's Act 3 of Sleeping Beauty. So that's really fun. So I hope I've said the names of those teachers, Laura Barr, Emily Pfeiffer, Bailey Barnum, Danielle Yost, Nicole Zinn and Bella Barnum Collier and myself have done the choreography for this year. Our opening piece is called 25, and all 36 of our dancers from our dance companies will be in that piece. And it's really cool because they start with their backs to the audience with and the back of the shirt says 25 on it. And then they turn around and face front, but you get to see that 25 on the back of their shirt. So that'll be a fun thing to do. Yeah, we've got a lot of great work in it. I know it'll be a great show.
Absolutely. And lest I forget, talking about the crew for this year, of course, our very own Pat Dupre will be doing the sound this year. And Nicole from our front office will be helping him out as well.
Once again,
KMTS. I can't forget him.
No, Pat is crucial to the success of this show. Yeah.
Absolutely. Again, it's Dancers Dancing, A Legacy, the 25th anniversary of Dancers Dancing, the 35th or so, if you will, anniversary of some kind of dance recital.
Absolutely, yeah. In the Center for the Arts Council, yeah.
It's so great that you've got that slideshow that you're going to be showing at the beginning, too.
Oh,
it's
that'll so be cool. Fun, yeah. We have some photos from the pre-years. From the 80s all the way through to the present
awesome.
Time.
Yeah. And I've teased it a couple times, and we never did come back to it.
Okay.
I talked about food.
Yes,
so
great.
Doors do open 30 minutes before show times. Uh-huh. And in addition to being able to buy tickets during that time for the performances, there's also some food options and
yes.
Something a little bit additional this year in terms of food.
Yes, and I want to credit the vice president of our board of directors, Rita Wagner, for organizing this. But People can she is providing the or organizing all the concessions, but on Friday nights people sometimes just come straight from work and they're hungry. So she has rounded up pulled pork donated by Dickie's Barbecue in Rifle, and macaroni and cheese. The Riviera is donating food. Sweet Colorado is providing donuts. She's providing her own famous bourbon balls, I believe they're called, lots of sweet things. But on Friday night, you can actually for $5 buy a dinner platter and have you come have your dinner and then see the show. So that's an additional thing. I'd really like to credit those donors who are providing hot food for Friday night.
All right. Again, so that's Friday night starting around 6:30 or so is when you'll start serving.
Correct.
$5 for dinner,
yep.
$2 mm-hmm. for dessert,
yep.
And then you'll also have, as usual, some homemade cookies and stuff
all
like
the
that
goodies,
from the dancers.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Again, you can learn more at glenwoodarts.org. It's Dancers Dancing a Legacy, the 25th annual Dancers Dancing performance at Glenwood Springs High School in the Jeannie Miller Theater. Friday and Saturday night shows at 7 o'clock, and then the Saturday matinee at 1 o'clock. Is there a big difference between the evening shows and the Saturday matinee?
The difference is that we have five classes of really young kids that are kindergarten and younger, and they are in the two evening shows, but they're not in the matinee because they, you know, at that age, two shows is plenty for them, yeah. So you miss the charm of the really little ones in the matinee, but it'll still be a great show. And while I'm speaking about those little ones, they're absolutely so precious, and I really want to mention we always try to collaborate with local professionals, and one of our extremely talented local professionals is Crystal Schmidt, who is a costume designer and seamstress, and she's made all the costumes for the kids in the classes. There are five classes of kindergarten and younger, and then she's made costuming for level 4 ballet as well as for level 1 ballet. I think she's probably made about 65 costumes for this show, and she really takes pride in making each class look different one from the other. So she and I kind of talk about what the dance is about, and then she comes up with something that will work with the dance. And like one of the dances for those little ones is called Rise and Shine. It's this really cute song. And so I said, well, let's do yellow because the sun is yellow. And she made the most fantastic yellow outfits with a big yellow pom-pom stick that these little four-year-olds hold up, and it's just really adorable. But that's, you know, each costume, each class that she has designed for, they look entirely different one from the other. So when we took delivery on all those costumes last Saturday, I was just having so much fun seeing her walk in with this big bundle full of costumes, and so I want to credit her.
Well, and my mom and my grandma were sewed. You know, they'd made clothes for me and stuff like that. So I know what that process is like. So to make 70-some costumes, I can only imagine how much time and dedication went into that.
Yeah, it's really something else. Truly one of the highlights of my job has been to watch young people blossom through this process. That is just priceless.
Again, the website is glenwoodarts.org, and Dancers Dancing, A Legacy.
That's right.
Is the name of the show.
Yeah.
Friday and Saturday, May 12th and 13th.
Uh-huh.
Maureen, yeah. I hope that we get to talk about this again next year.
Oh, I'd love that. That would be good. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
That would be great. And we'll at that point, we'll have some of these other, or these young people that have continued to blossom. I mean, I could talk at great length about students who started when they were little. One comes to mind who her mother wasn't able to drive her to class. And when she was tiny, literally 3 years old, they would walk to class. You'd see her walking all over with her mom. And she's blossomed into such a beautiful young woman. She's in the seventh grade now. And so dedicated and able to express herself through movement through these years of staying there. Our older students that are in high school, when you watch them and you think they've been doing this since they were three, developing this talent, and it's really become their life. You know, their friendships and the camaraderie is so close and so tight-knit. I don't think a lot of times people quite realize when you see a dancer, for instance, dancing on point, that dancer couldn't even start to put the point shoes on until they already had the strength and the training in their prior classes. And then just those few moments that they're on point, that represents so many years of training and dedication. That's just one small example.
And in the family, there's a lot of drama around going on point because if you've got an older sister that is able to, but not the younger sister or sisters, I'm just saying.
You're just saying. You've been there. He's been there.
I have experienced it firsthand. Again, website is glenwoodarts.org. You can buy tickets there. You can also purchase them at the door on Friday the 12th or Saturday the 13th. Again, evening shows at 7 o'clock, then the Saturday matinee at 1 o'clock. Doors and box office, if you will, opens 30 minutes before. And on Friday night, the food will be sold starting at 6:30 as well. Again, $5 for the pulled pork from Dickie's Barbecue and Rifle, and some donations from Riviera in Glenwood as well. Dessert is $2. That's donated by Colorado. And some cookies and stuff like that made by parents and students as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
Again, dancers dancing a legacy. Maureen, certainly a huge legacy that
you
have in the dance community in this area. And I hope that it's something that we get to talk about for many, many more years.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah.
As the term you used earlier was hope, I think that's definitely appropriate. Still hopeful that things will happen. We'll be able to have this conversation more, and that the Center for the Arts will continue in some form, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see. In the meantime, the show must go on, and right now you're focused on dancers dancing a legacy.
And making sure that everyone leaves tapping their feet with a smile on their face.
As you always have. All the best. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, Gabe.
You've been listening to KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30. It's another reason we are the most listened to radio station from Rifle to Aspen.